Welcome to Careertools. This week, bad reasons to leave your job with no new job lined up. The questions this cast answers are, should I leave my job without another one lined up? What are the dangers of leaving my job without another one lined up? And when should I listen to others about leaving my job?
Hey, podcast listener, do you sometimes wish there were different ways of consuming the content? Well, you're in luck. Every Career Tools, Manager Tools, and Executive Tools podcast was written in advance of its recording. What that means is you've got access if you become a personal licensee for $200 a year to the show notes being the written materials which are underpinning all of our podcasts, another way to consume material that you're already getting tons of value from. Visit us online at manager-tools.com/products to learn more today.
Leaving a job without another one lined up. And to be clear, if we say leaving a job in this guidance, we're always talking about not having another one lined up. When I was writing this, I kept finding myself saying leaving a job, and I just know we're going to say it. But in this case, we're talking only about leaving a job and not having another one to go to. So leaving a job without another one lined up is sometimes portrayed as brave, risky, ethical, stupid, as taking a stand. And sometimes it's acting immaturely. It's good or bad, depending on the way the story has been told and who is telling it. And none of that tells you whether or not doing that, actually quitting your job without something to go to, is a good idea or not in your circumstances. And, you know, we're here to fill the gap. We're going to talk about the bad reasons for quitting without another role and why you should stay. And then next week, we're going to talk about good reasons. But in this cast, these are the reasons why you should stay at the job, not quit when you don't have another one.
Yeah. Our outline for today is don't assume you have to leave your job. Then really bad reasons to leave your job. And then lastly, not when you can't stand it anymore, which I think is where I think a lot of people think of, you know, where this guidance fits.
Yes. Yeah. Like when I can't stand it anymore.
I'm at my boiling point. Exactly. Yeah.
And the first thing is, don't assume you have to leave your job. You do not have to leave your job unless you've been fired and they're walking you off the premises. It's better if you go. But until then, you have the power to choose to stay or go, whatever the circumstances are. And it might feel like you have to leave, you know, that whole it's boiling over, it's the last straw, I have to go. And others might tell you have to get out of there, but you don't have to leave. You don't have to make the knee-jerk decision. You can stay if you choose to, and we're going to recommend that you do, at least until you've had time to think through the consequences of saying, you know, that's it, I'm done with this place, and walking out, because that has a lot of negative consequences, and they're all negative for you.
Yeah. I think when someone says, I have to leave my job, and I say, well, why? And they say, well, it's going to be really awkward. Well, that's not having to leave your job.
No, right.
That's having to deal with some awkwardness, right? But you don't have to actually leave your job. There's a huge difference between making a decision to leave your job and actually leaving your job. That's a big difference. And in many cases, you know, the people who we talk to who have left without another job to go to, almost always they say they've been putting up with something, right? They've been putting up with some negative...
Like this manager, or this ridiculous, yeah, like being underpaid, or this customer, or whatever.
Right, right. And then inevitably, however long they've been putting up with that, weeks, months, years, there's a straw that breaks the camel's back, and they're like, this is it. This is it. I'm quitting. And they quit with no job to go to. And that itself brings a bunch of subsequent negative consequences, not the least of which is you don't get paid. Mm-hmm. There's nothing, you know, there's no paycheck there. And you don't have to be that person. You don't have to quit.
No. And a couple of months ago, I think we recorded Horseman's first lot of job changes, which is change when you want to, not when you force to. And we talked about the benefits of timing your job change or changing according to your own timetable, according to your own needs and wants, and not when you're forced to by the company or some other outside circumstances. And those benefits were things like you get to choose the job you go to. You don't have to take the first thing because you need a paycheck. You get to choose. You can take advantage of timing benefits like changing jobs during the school holidays so that your kids go to a new school in the new school year, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Incentive payouts.
All
like
those
that.
Things. Yeah. You get to control the contents of your resume because there isn't that stopgap job on there. There isn't that gap because you left a job and then you couldn't find another one immediately.
And then the umbrella one, yes. Which is all of these and all the other ones, just in general, it's less stressful.
Yeah. Million times less stressful to feel like you're in control of the process rather than being forced to go through it at someone else's pace.
Exactly.
The opposite negatives are true. If you don't have a job to go to, you have fewer choices as to what your next role will be. You miss out on being able to time the change. Your resume has a gap and a question mark over leaving this job, and it's more stressful.
Absolutely. One of the most stressful things in life is trying to find a job when your family needs a paycheck, knowing that there's a danger of not being able to put food on the table, or that you're going to have to, you know, go into debt, you know, credit cards or borrowing money from family or things like that, right? And that every single day that you are not hired or don't have that job, it just compounds the stress, right? It's exponential. And that's a situation we wouldn't wish on anyone. And one that we would hope that you wouldn't bring upon yourself. That kind of stress means not only are you dealing with all of that other stuff, but when you're trying to be at your best, when you're in the interviews, when you're on those, you know, phone screens, that's when you should be your best self. But that's when you're going to be less of that if you're under that stress, and you're going to make worse decisions. And that has long-term impacts on your career. If it limits the jobs that you get or the opportunities you get, yeah, it's going to, you know, that's going to have long-lasting effects for your career.
Yeah, the idea that you're desperate in an interview is like being desperate when you're dating. It's not attractive and it doesn't help, so.
No.
And from that title of that podcast, Not When You're Forced To, you might have only been thinking about being fired or laid off. And those people that leave jobs without something to go to often also say they were forced to. But they weren't. They were forced by their own emotions or the things they said or the things that they had to hold themselves to because they said, you know, if you don't give me a pay rise, I'm out of here. And then they don't get a pay rise. They have to be out of there, right? Someone else's behavior sometimes. None of those are actually forcing them to leave. I was thinking about this. Think about an old Jane Austen novel in which the hero says, I'm forced to defend my honor. And we think of that as ridiculous and overblown and over romantic and Jane Austen-ish. Like, we don't actually feel the need to defend our honor or those of our significant others with jewels anymore. You know, we still have honor, but we don't defend it with jewels, right? They're not actually being forced to have a jewel. Right. Any more than our friends leaving jobs are forced to leave jobs. They're making a choice, and one that could have serious negative consequences for them, whether that's, you know, being shot in a duel or the negative consequences of leaving a job without another one to go to.
Yeah. And what this comes down to is whatever you've been putting up with, if you've been putting up with it for weeks or months, then just resolve yourself to put up with it for a few more months until you make the positive choice, moving when you want to what you want to, right? Other people, you know, your friends specifically, will recommend you leave far sooner and far more often than is best for you, right? They want to be the ones to, you know, stick up for you and you know, say, no, you should just quit.
Yeah, you're better than that, you know?
Right, you're better than that. It's not that they want to give you bad advice, but because they want to give you some advice, right? Mm-hmm. Anything. And of course, you know, the bottom line is they're not taking any of the risk of what they say to do. It's really easy to recommend that someone else skydives.
Yes.
Like, you should jump out of the plane with only a parachute, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah. Everybody should do it for their 30th. which I'm past, and therefore it
right.
doesn't account
oh,
for me.
Oh, did you? No, I didn't.
No,
but
no. Exactly.
Everybody but me.
Yes. So let's take an example that's egregious. So let's say there's a moment in a meeting where you believe you are about to be struck. Somebody is going to hit you. They are coming towards you with their hand raised and an angry look on their face. When you tell that story later, your friends will give you two pieces of advice. The first is about how to box and how to hold your hand so that the next time you hit the guy firmly on the chin and he goes down. And the second one will be, you have to get out of that job right now. In fact, you should leave today.
Right. Quit on the spot.
Yeah. In fact, while I stand here, just call your boss and resign. That's what you should do. But if we're honest, you're not actually 99% of the time in any real danger. Whilst, okay, the people in the meeting might be shocked when someone hits you the first time, but they're going to stop them the second time. Someone's going to come forward and go, oh, we don't do that here, or try and separate you. Or, you know, in a professional workplace, someone is going to take action. You're not actually in danger of being in a real fight.
Right. And where this comes into play with what we're talking about is, you don't need to leave your job. You have other options, right? You can leave the room. You can leave the building. Just get to safety. Focus on that first, right? Mm-hmm. That's paramount. But immediately leaving your job is an overreaction. It doesn't give your colleagues, your management, or your company to take any action and prove, you know, to you what their, you know, principles are and what
yes.
they're what they stand for, right? And if they don't treat it with the seriousness that it deserves, well, then you can make a plan, right? Mm-hmm. Then you can leave on your own time. But don't let one incident, this, you know, anomaly, crazy thing that could have happened that was, you know, by one crazy person, because who mm-hmm. does that, right?
Right?
In a meeting.
Exactly.
It's one crazy person. It's not a representation of the company. It's not a representation of everything that goes into your job. It was just one weird one-off. Don't let that derail your entire career, or certainly the next year to 2 years of mm-hmm. your career,
exactly.
where it's going to be rocky. It's going to be stressful.
Yeah, look at the whole Chris Rock, Will Smith smacking Chris Rock at the Oscars, I think.
Yeah.
And just how shocked everybody was by that. And I think if he had not walked away immediately, then something, you know, people would have stood
yeah.
up and I think it happened so quickly and he was walking away before anybody really registered that it wasn't a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that people were that shocked by that happening just goes to show how rare that really is. Much more rare than the movies would have you or the news would have you think, you know, people get angry in companies, but I have only ever seen one situation where I thought it might come to blows and it didn't. And I'm, you know, 110. So there's been plenty of time for that to happen. It just doesn't happen in professional workplaces. And if it does, if it even gets close, action is taken. So another oft-cited impetus is being asked to do something unethical. And unethical behavior rarely happens once or in a vacuum. Enron, which is one of the most famous unethical things that's happened in a while, unfolded over 3 years. There's
yeah.
plenty of time in 3 years to find a new job and make a smooth transition. And it might be uncomfortable for a while, having been asked to do something unethical and having said no. But unless you're fired, you can choose to put up with that discomfort, knowing it puts you in a better position in a few months. Why would you make someone else's bad behavior put you in a worse position? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. It's that old phrase, right? Cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Exactly.
That just doesn't make sense.
No. And if they're doing something unethical and you take their money for another few months to put you and your family in a better
yeah.
pace. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, they started it, as we always tell our mothers. It was him. Well, I'm going to finish it. But, you know, that's not how it works in the grown-up world. In the grown-up world, you can, with good conscience, continue to take their money until you put yourself in the position of having something better to go to.
Absolutely.
Time may be running out on getting your copy of the Effective Manager book. Not because the Effective Manager book has been discontinued or because being an effective manager is somehow no longer important. Rather, because we're in the second draft of the Effective Manager. With the new version, means the old version will soon come to an end. So if you want a copy of the Effective Manager book, you can still get them on our website or on Amazon. The Effective Manager book. Get your copy today.
Our next point in our outline is really bad reasons to leave your job. And the internet might be the next place you turn after you know, consulting your friends on whether you should leave your job or, you know, whether you're putting up with something should lead to you leaving your job. You may have heard this before. We've said this a few times. The kind of guidance that you find on the internet is not surprisingly poor. This section in our cast here is not as actionable as the rest of our guidance, but we hope that this will give you some ideas for what not to take action on, like things not to do. And so for these reasons, which we've cited, are terrible reasons to leave your job without something else to go to.
And my favorite is the first one. When I saw this, I died laughing. So it's, you want to pursue other interests. And yeah. I immediately said, in the words of Inyo Montoya, as Mark would say, I do not think that word means what you think it means. Mm-hmm. When someone leaves to pursue other interests, it means they've been fired. Like, when the CEO leaves to pursue other interests or spend time with their family or donate time to charity or any, they're all euphemisms for he's been fired. Like,
yeah,
it's a polite euphemism. It's not an executive who says, do you know what? I'm going to give it all up and go fishing. Like, that's not what's happening. And so if you leave your job because you want to pursue other interests, you're telling the world you've been fired when you haven't. That makes no sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those of you who are listening, you don't get the privilege of seeing us. We record this on Zoom, so we can see each other. And every time Wendy says, pursue other interests, she says it in air quotes.
Yes.
She puts, you know, the air quotes with her fingers. I defy anyone to say pursue other interests without putting the air quotes.
Yes.
Because everyone I've ever seen ever say, oh, he left to pursue other interests. Always. Everyone uses the air quotes because they know it's a euphemism. It's not what actually happened.
Exactly. It's like powder my nose. We know what that means.
Exactly.
And it's straight. You might wish to consider a career change or volunteer or become an entrepreneur, and we support you in all of those endeavors. Absolutely. But that doesn't mean that you leave your current job with no plan, no savings, and no job lined up. Even if you're leaving to start your own company, you technically have another job lined up because it's the job of being in charge of that company. And you would, we hope, have taken the time to develop a business plan and do market research and maybe serve a few customers as your side hustle before you give up your regular guaranteed paycheck for this amount of risk.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be all or nothing.
No.
Yeah. The next one is, you want to focus on the next job search. I agree that the pursue other interests is my favorite, but this one is really interesting because so many people handle a job search while they are currently working.
Yes. Yeah. Probably like 90% of people.
Yeah. And so many people will say, you know, I really need to, you know, leave to focus on the job search. And there's all these other factors that are, you know, are forcing, again, that forcing me out the door. But leaving your job without another one causes a gap on your resume. And that's a gap that you're going to have to explain. And the worse you are at explaining it, the longer that gap will be.
Yes, exactly.
And so, you know, the explanation that you needed the entirety of your 40-hour work week to look for a job, would sound to a recruiter like you're either incredibly bad at time management or you're covering something up. You're not being truthful. And no one wants an untruthful employee, but also no one wants an employee who can only concentrate on one project at a time. That there's no job out there that you're not going to have to be able to handle competing priority.
Yeah, it's funny. And some people use this phrase thinking that they are fully engaged at work and they therefore have no time to conduct a job search. But they don't think to take their PTO, for example. If you have 3 or 6 or 12 months worth of expenses saved up, which is what we recommend, you don't need the cash exchange for PTO when you leave that job. So what happens in a lot of companies is you have a certain number, say you have 20 days a year of PTO. When you leave a job, if you have 10 days, instead of taking those 10 days, you get a certain amount per day, and that is added to your final paycheck. But you don't need that money if you've got money saved up, and actually you don't need it necessarily if you're leaving to go to another job. So use the PTO for the interviews and the resume writing and whatever else you think you need time for, instead of saving it up and exchanging it for cash. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, in a previous life, my team did a lot of the reporting on PTO so that the finance team could have it on the balance sheet. So they knew, like, you know, how much of a liability is mm-hmm. out there. But don't think of it like that. You need to save it up and have it as your reserve. Because if you've been following our guidance and you have that reserve in cash, you can leverage it to make this transition period easier. One of the other things that I thought when I read this part of the cast is, think of other things that are taking up your time at work that aren't directly related to the work that you're doing. I mean, right. so many folks that I talk to or that are in my, you know, circles, they do a lot of extracurricular stuff. Mm-hmm. They're on boards or they're on committees or they do other stuff within the organization. Stop doing that stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, take a break. Say, you know, there's a lot going on in my division and I'm going to take some time away. I'm going to, you know, take 2 months and not go to these meetings, do that.
Yes. Or if you're on things like the PTA at home, like you can say,
yeah,
you could use that at work and you use home, you know, you use them vice versa, right? Say, hey, there's a lot going on at work. I need to not come to the meetings for a couple of months and use
Absolutely.
That time.
Totally.
And if you're otherwise fully engaged, loyal, dedicated, giving them your all until the last day that you're there, then you have nothing to feel bad about taking the time that you're owed to do the thing that furthers your career. Like,
yeah.
It's a fair trade-off. If you're giving value, the value that you owe them versus your salary, then that's how that trade works. You don't owe them the rest of your life. You don't owe them never to change. It's a balance. It's a trade-off, and it's not the whole of everything.
Yeah, if for some reason anyone listening to this has it in their head that because the PTO that they're using is from the company, that they have some sort of moral obligation not to spend that time trying to find another job or working on another job, you have to get over that. You have mm-hmm. to set that down because that's not the case. That's your time. Your time to do whatever is beneficial for you. And sometimes that's spending time with your family, going on vacation. And sometimes it's investing in yourself, mm-hmm. doing self-development. And part of that is working on your resume and, you know, warming up your network and, you know, doing the things that help you in a job search.
There's a concept in the UK that they don't have here in the US called garden leave. And so if you're in a job where sometimes it's layoffs and timing, but often it's like a sales team where you're going to a competitor and so that you might be able to steal the customers or you might be given information that you could use in the new job. It's better for the company to say, look, we just like leave the offices. It's safer for us to know that you don't know this information that's a competitive secret given mm-hmm. that where you're going. And it's not usually bad. It's not a nasty thing. It's just a legal safety thing more than anything else. And so what you do is you resign and instead of working your month's notice, you go home and you stay at home and you're paid for that month.
And they still pay you.
Yeah. And it's called garden leave because you spend it in the garden, you know, soaking up the sun if you time it well. And that, again, is like, it's like taking PTO. You know, it could be seen as the ultimate extortion of the company. You know, they're paying you and you are doing absolutely nothing. But the reason they let you go or ask you to go is because there's a risk to them, and that money that they're spending on that risk is worth it to them, right? They have to spend money to give you PTO because otherwise nobody would work there, you know, and you get to spend it how you want. That's the way it goes.
Absolutely. So the next reason is you want more education and or a career change, right? A complete pivot in your career. So leaving your job to go to school or start another career is perfectly valid. Yes. It's a valid choice to make. It does, though, kind of as we've said, require planning to be successful. So just leaving your job to take time to do that planning, or just leaving with the vague thought that what you might want to do is make a change or go back to school, just some nebulous back to school, you know, no degree in mind yet. That is the kind of thing that, this is going to sound diminutive, but that's what immature people do.
It's what 22-year-olds do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's what impetuous children do, right? But when you're an adult, this is going to sound terrible. People are going to write me hate mail. But when you're an adult, you don't make impulsive decisions. And if you're listening to this, if you're a career tools listener, you don't make impulsive decisions. No. And so that's what we're here talking about.
And in most cases, or in a lot of cases, if you say you need to leave in order to study, you don't have a study problem. You have a time management, priority management problem. Now, the only jobs we've ever seen where you couldn't also study, at least some of the time, are the, you know, VP, exec VP, CEO, C-suite jobs. Mm-hmm. In most other cases, someone somewhere has managed to study. And actually, it's easier if you're more senior because you have more money and therefore you can pay for childcare, you can pay for a car service, you can exchange money to make life easier. So if you think about it as an extra project in your life rather than study like school where that was the only thing I did between 12 and 16 or 12 and 18. If you think of it as an extra project, then you'll find the time for it. Think about remodeling your house, which is something that a lot of people do at the same time as going to work. And yet there's a million decisions to make and you have to be there. And, you know, if you're doing some of the work yourself, you have to do that on the weekends and the evenings. And yet people do it. It's just because it's a different kind of project. You think about them separately, but actually they're both doable.
Absolutely. Again, it's not an either or.
No. And when was the last time you heard someone, I left my job because I needed to remodel my house?
Oh, yeah.
No one's ever said that.
No. And if they did, you would say, what? What is wrong with you? How big of a remodel are we talking here?
Are you building it yourself from scratch?
You would be building it yourself from the ground up. Yeah. Absolutely. Our last point here is don't leave when you can't stand it anymore. The time that you hear yourself saying, I just can't stand this job anymore, is not the time to walk out of your current job without another to go to. This is the time to renew your search, freshen up that resume, right? Dust off your, you know, maybe some cold relationships in your network.
Reply to the emails that are actually in your inbox.
Right. Actually, you know, go on LinkedIn for something other than scrolling. So again, most of us put up with things that we don't like in our jobs for weeks or months before we get to this state. You can stand more than you think, and you've stood it till now. You can stand it for a few more weeks or months in order to make the change that you want to make, not the one that your boss's ridiculous behavior has led you into.
Yeah. In his book, The Seven Habits of Effective Families, although I thought this was in The Seven Habits of Effective People as well, but Stephen Covey writes, in the space between stimulus, what happens, and how we respond, lies our freedom to choose. Ultimately, the power to choose is what defines us as human beings. So the stimulus is whatever you can't stand, the 87th time your boss has said, okie dokie today. That said that, and it drove me nuts. and your response. So the stimulus is what you can't stand, and the response is what you choose to do. And you can choose to leave the room where your boss is saying okie dokie for the 18th time, or you can leave your job, and leaving your job is the one with the negative consequences. And actually, a lot of the time, if you say to yourself, okay, this thing drives me nuts, but I am going to stand it until I find a job that I really want to go to, that pays the right money, that's in the location I want, and the hours and the interesting projects, I'm going to stand it. That actually, just that decision, makes it easier to stand.
Yeah. If you're really in a state where you legitimately think you may not be able to stop yourself from blurting out, I quit, and walking out. I mean, you're at that point. Take some time off. Take a day, right? Take a half a day. Get yourself out of that situation. Do something entirely devoid from your work. Get away from it. Don't even think about it. Give yourself some breathing room so as to not make a rash decision. Don't forget, though, that if nothing changes, nothing changes. You can de-escalate your feelings for a day or an afternoon, but if you find yourself in the situation now, you will find yourself in the same place again. So you don't just get mad and say, I'll get over it, right? If you're truly thinking this is going to, you're going to get to the point where you're going to reach that boiling point and boil over, then start the process of looking and going down that place now. We're not saying here that you should never leave your job, but that you shouldn't leave impulsively, mm-hmm. without something else, without another job to go to, and hopefully a job that you want, not mm-hmm. just the job you're taking because you're desperate. So on the other hand, with a careful plan and a better position to go to, in your transition plan ready to go, that's when you change jobs.
And there's few good reasons to leave a job without another go-to, and we're going to talk about those next week. But if you're thinking about leaving without another job to go to, the number of bad reasons outweigh the good. So err on the side of caution. Wait. Plan. Change on your timetable, not someone else's. And remember, the best revenge is success, not walking out.
Well said.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. Next week, we'll be back with good reasons to leave your job with no new job lined up.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.